If you feel you must, you can always call the show at 888-989-9811. Of course, you can always shove a scorpion down your pants, too. You decide. This is Rad Radio.
All right, a few emails, rad@radradio.com. It was noticed immediately. Producer Nick is joining us for the rest of the week. We got this one from one of our 85 Heidis.
Hi, Heidi.
Says, Nick, it's so great to see and hear you. I'm one of those longtime listeners that literally started listening in 2002 because of the back and forth banter between Nick and Dawn. When I heard that for the first time, I thought, what the hell is this? And I was hooked.
I don't remember us doing a back and forth banter.
I don't either.
Nick was always causing trouble and getting involved.
That's what I do.
Yeah. I recall some of the childish back and forth moments between the two of you. I was always the adult in the room.
Yes. And you always will be.
No Name says, I love when producer Chubbs is on the show.
Oh, no, he's not
so
chubby.
The question for Rad TV viewers, though, is who's chubbier at this point, Nick or me? Because, I mean, look, I've taken my shots at Nick. Ridiculous.
I mean, neither one of you.
I know that.
You're not even in the chubby category.
Okay, I'm going to grant you that.
Okay.
But who's chubbier between the two of us? You know, Nick's taller than me. What are you, 6'1"?
I'm like 6'3", flat-footed.
Jesus.
Yeah.
6'3"?
Yeah.
Why do you look? Oh, yeah. See, that's interesting because, like, I can look right now at you and Kyle. Kyle's 6'4", and you're 6'3". I've always known you were tall, but I never thought you were 6'3", whereas I think of Kyle as a giant.
Well, Kyle is a much bigger person than I am. Like, his bone structure is
bigger.
Yeah. And I stand kind of squat. Like, if I'm – this is me fully standing straight up, and Kyle's still got me by an inch or two.
Because you have a relationship with my mother, does she yell at you about your posture?
Yes, she does.
Oh, my God, because she can't stand bad posture.
Well, compare – I'm standing right next to fat producer Nick over here, and he's grabbing his stomach, and – I think, Rob, you might have him be on who's heavier, because I've seen you with your sweatshirt and everything, and there's a little bit of bulge. I mean, and don't feel bad, because I've got a little bulge, too.
I can't imagine I beat him weight-wise, though, because I'm 4 inches shorter than him. But distribution-wise, who knows?
That's the advantage he has. When you're taller, it can thin out more. Whereas you're shorter, so it's going to show more.
Dude with no name says, I'm so pumped Nick is here for the week and for Ratterday. Yes, live Ratterday show this Saturday morning, 6 to 9 a.m., and Nick will be here for that as well. Anthony says, I'm renewing my membership just to hear Nick wish AIDS on the mouth breathers and idiot emails that come through on Ratterday. Oh, he'll just do that now.
Remember, we put a moratorium on that joke.
Right.
People are surviving it now way more often than they used to. So now I can't use that one decent joke I had in my repertoire.
It's not as fun. And you haven't found one that's that's not controversial and still funny to wish upon
people. Now you're wishing them something they could survive.
By the way, we were talking about the Terminator, which, no joke, is a robot controlled flame-throwing dog. So it can shoot flames from 30 feet. They're legal in almost everywhere in the United States, technically. And you can control it with Wi-Fi, Bluetooth, etc. And we were talking about the practical uses for it. Like, you could use it to clear snow or to start bonfires. But the idea is, the difference is, you're not actually holding the flamethrower. That's the appeal of it. And then it was brought up, okay, can we modify it? Which right now the answer is no for this thing. It's $9,400 for a Terminator robot dog that shoots flames. But we started, could you put like, for fun, mashed potatoes in it? And then Kyle thought, well, what if you put bug spray in it to shoot it, like hornet's nests and things like that? Look, Chris, I appreciate you emailing me the fact that there's already, like, on the market these guns, if you will, that shoot bug spray out of them. Okay, first of all, that doesn't take away the human interaction. Okay, and second of all, be a man. If you're gonna spray insects, get over them with the can of Raid.
Yeah.
You don't get to stand back and use the handheld gun.
I'm sorry. Yeah, that did something to me, because I'm from a terrible time. If my husband did that, I'd be like, are you losing testosterone?
Yeah.
Because when he's had the big wasp stuff like that, he is just gone and taking care of it himself. He could get stung a bunch. He's almost very close to it. Why? Because he's a man.
Which is why I'm opposed to putting bug spray in the robotic dog flamethrower. It is manly to use a robotic dog and shoot flames at bugs. Because it's fire.
Exactly.
That's what Brandon has established, which brings us to it. We got more than a few emails, like this one from Andrea.
Oh, here we go.
Uh-huh. Says, hearing about Brandon's obsession with fire as a kid, it makes sense now why he tried to push Rob into a fire pit years ago. He had never lit a human on fire before, and it all makes sense now.
Well, it would have been me doing it on purpose had it been a bigger fire, but because it was just a little tiny tiki torch,
oh,
and because
right.
it was on a grassy knoll in my backyard.
And you tripped Rob.
No, oh. Rob fell backwards as he was stumbling uh-huh. on said grassy knoll.
Right, after being shoved in the chest by Brandon. Yeah. And did you catch the dog whistle there? Tiki torch, Brandon, white nationalist, Trumpster, all that. Yeah. Uh-huh.
The best things in life on
Before
free.
It was even a thing.
We're gonna help you pay some bills and fees. Windrush change. What I want. Windrush change. What I want. Windrush change. Make your best guess and estimate. The calculation in rough jar of change. Windrush change.
That explains the goodie bags you told me about. Well, you all got Trump t-shirts.
Yes, and this is like before Trump. Amazingly, this is before that election. Trump hadn't announced. This is like back in 2014.
Yeah. Right.
Trump was just he was on The Apprentice.
Brandon right. had a vision.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, you got me. Totally got
and
me.
By the way, and that explains now why there was a hood in the goodie bag. Very strange. Caller 18.
This is just as funny as calling Rob fat.
To win Rob's change.
Brandon, hilarious.
Don't like it when the sights are turned the other way. Interesting.
Hey, I mean, the truth.
This uh-huh. one's a little more egregious.
A little bit.
I mean, the hood and all.
What, making Brandon into a racist is more egregious than making fun of me for gaining 5 pounds?
Yeah, probably just a little bit.
Mm. Wee little bit.
William, you're caller 18 to win Rob's change. Good morning.
Good morning. Remember the Kentucky Derby.
What? Is that today?
No.
10 days from now.
Oh,
10 days
well,
from
I now. You know, I remember the Alamo.
Thank you for that reminder.
Wait, I feel like we're missing something.
That's true.
Okay.
Maybe we forget things we even
cover
say.
It on your sports show. That's what I meant.
Okay.
No problem. No problem. A week from Friday, we will do an entire segment.
Oh. Okay, very nice.
On the Kentucky Derby.
Thank you, Rob.
You bet, William.
Talk You're about awesome.
Cats. That's
your sports show.
We will. We'll have an on-the-scene reporter, a female.
I want to go just for that.
Who will talk about the hats and the mint juleps.
Yeah, and we'll have virgin mint juleps in-house.
Sierra Leone, you heard it here first.
We've had three guesses. Shut up, William. I got to move along, man. I'm on a timer here.
Okay.
And I already knew I had no control over this show. Once we added Nick into the mix, because adding an extra voice, this show is going to just be a disaster. Now, it'll be hysterical. But it'll be chaos, and there will be more than one time where I'm just going to have to tell everybody to shut up so that we can actually do what we do to make money. And so, sorry, William, you were the first victim. We got to get to win Rob's change. Three guesses, three clues. If you figured it out, you win it. What is your guess?
$312.37.
All right, $312.37. He's got clue number one covered. He's got clue number two covered. He's got clue number three covered. Legitimate guess, $312.37.
You lose.
Oh, man.
Incorrect. And because I'm lazy, for now we'll just move to higher or lower. $312.37. Your clue is that is too high. The correct answer is lower than $312.37. We will give you another chance to win Rob's change at 9:30 this morning. Now, I'm doing a very dangerous thing here. I'm reading emails that I have not pre-read. Usually, I proofread them. I make sure they don't sound... I know you're going to think I'm lying.
Oh, boy.
The emails I choose to read, I have made them as intelligent-sounding as possible.
Gosh.
These, I'm reading on the fly. So they could truly sound more dumb than usual. I apologize. But I see what they're writing in about since we're talking about this flame-throwing robotic dog. May wrote in, says, my brother got a flamethrower as a gift from his wife, because remember, they are legal in 49 states. A couple of states you just have to have a permit or whatever. And really, it's very easy to get. It's just like, I live on land, or I live in a snow area.
I like fire.
Or maybe, probably. It probably is that easy.
And it was the robot one that was $9,400.
Yes, yes. Actual flamethrowers, I have no idea, but they're legal, but they're certainly not anywhere near that. The robot dog, by the way. Oh, not just any robot walking around with a flamethrower yet. That's next. Okay, my brother got a flamethrower as a gift from his wife, and it would shoot flames over 75 feet.
Oh, wow. Good Lord.
Because the robot dog's only 30 feet. He lived on the Truckee River, so in the summertime, he would hook up a water tank to it and basically have a water cannon to spray water at the people floating down the river.
That's awesome.
Wow.
That's
she claims people loved it.
Yeah, I would.
So while it's the most expensive dual-purpose water gun / flamethrower he's ever had, I imagine him buying the remote-controlled dog and doing exactly what you said, Rob, adding paint or water and chasing down his own kids. Big difference between paint and water, as Don said. I mean, paint ruins things.
Yes.
New Rad Superstore idea. A meerkat that is a robot that launches fireworks off its little back-mounted rocket launcher.
And it's wearing, okay, since it's back-mounted, it's wearing a vest with the Kyle Army logo on it.
Oh, my God.
Because you know, if it's a meerkat, you know, only the Kyle Army would want the robotic meerkat. We'll get that into production.
I want to put it on a leash, too. It's like walking around places.
Rob's red phone is ringing with all his lawyers.
True. I have my cell phone in my back pocket. I can hear it vibrating. Feel it. Like, oh my God. Oh, yes, I know. It's satire, people.
What if we put a warning label for 18 and up? Would that cover us?
Sure. Okay. I mean, a warning label, the whole don't stick this in your orifice thing like they do on women's curling irons because some woman did that once and burned her genitals.
God. Make sure it's unplugged.
You know, you're totally covered at that point. all right, we also got this one. Says, hearing Brandon talk about his fire fetish. Was it a fetish? Is that accurate as a child?
Just a fascination with things that burn.
Quick question. Yes. Pop quiz. Poll. Pop poll of everyone. The word fetish, does it imply something sexual?
Yeah.
Because to me, I don't know if it's supposed to, but it implies that.
That's what I always thought.
Yeah, so which I don't know if that's the technical definition.
To me, it implies sexual unless it's an obsession. Like, an obsession is different than a fetish.
Okay. Yes.
Exactly.
Which that would be a more accurate word, right, for you as a kid.
Yeah, but I even think then it wasn't fetishized. It was just,
fascination.
There we go.
I think that is, to fairness with Brandon, that's every boy.
Yeah.
You all are fascinated with fire.
Well, I would hope.
And some boys just get to have more fun with it, like Brandon was able to because of where he lived.
I was also really hip as a grade school kid and loved the movie Backdraft because my dad loved it too. And because it had fire in it, I was like, now I'm hooked.
Yeah, definitely fascination bordering on something else, but not a fetish and not even really an obsession. But either way, that's not the point of the email. Reminded me of a story, says the writer, of when I was in fourth grade and I convinced my mom that we could handle a controlled burn for overgrown dead grass in our backyard. Okay. It was back in 1980, living on Oahu. Our backyard had one of those big storm drain canals dividing the backyard, and it was the property on the other side of the canal that needed clearing. Started out well. So fourth grade, how old are you?
10.
It started out well. We would burn, put out the fire with the garden hose, burn some more, then put it out, and then all of a sudden the next burn, the fire grew.
Oops.
Oh,
and grew in a matter of seconds.
Oh, God.
It got out of control.
Oh, no.
Imagine that, 10-year-olds not knowing the training of grown men who are firefighters to how to keep a burn from getting out of control.
Yeah, we saw it in a movie.
There was smoke everywhere covering the neighborhood. At this point, we started to panic. Right. That's about right. You're a 10-year-old boy. You don't panic as the fire gets out of control. It's when the evidence starts to seep into the air.
Oh, and then what? Do you run and hide?
Well, let's see.
Oh, my God.
Yes. I mean, burning? Depending on what you're doing. Like if you're, throwing lit fireworks into the windows of passing cars at night with your best friend Michael growing up. If one goes through the window and you immediately start running and then you hear the of the brakes and somebody getting out screaming and cursing and you're leaping into your neighbor's yard and things like that. That's an example.
And then you had reason to run because adults had free reign over your children. If some random adult wanted to spank you because you did that, your parents would be like, thank you.
Well, also, it was the late 70s, early 80s, and society in general, even though there were real challenges in that time, we hadn't created all these made-up problems, and beating kids for doing irresponsible things was totally cool. It's like, you know, we don't have all these other things to worry about.
So I was probably 12 or 13, and we took all the Safe and Sane fireworks, my neighbor friend and I did, and we tore them apart and poured all of the firework powder into a newspaper. And then we wadded it all up, this big old ball of firework powder, and we lit it on fire, and it made a huge smoke plume. Like, it looked like an atom bomb smoke plume went up in the air.
Awesome.
And that was the only time we got really scared. And, of course, the bitchy neighbor lady next door, she came out and threatened to call the sheriff's office, but no one ever came and did anything. But I was a little freaked out.
I don't, if you guys remember the cap guns we had as kids, if you take an entire roll and they get four or five of them together and take a hammer and smash it,
same type thing
where the big explosion comes up.
All right, so this dude, he's trying to do a legitimate, backyard controlled burn. First two times, fine. It gets out of control. There's smoke everywhere covering the neighborhood. And he's fourth grader. So he convinced his mom that he could handle, supervising. But mom's there. So here's what he did next. He says, I started throwing dirt on it with a shovel. My mom was hitting the fire with the hose. After about 5 minutes, we got it under control just as the fire department arrived.
Oh, yeah.
I'm sure they were surprised to see a tiny fourth grade boy and his tinier Japanese mom standing there in a smoke charred field. My mom holding the hose and me holding a shovel. Oh, that's a painting I want.
Yes.
The Oahu background, and there's a small boy with a shovel and the tiny Japanese woman with a hose.
Gorgeous.
If it got fully out of control, he says, it could have burned a whole hillside in the valley we lived in, not to mention the backyards of every house bordering the canal and a church next door. Needless to say, we got a pretty good tongue lashing from the firemen. Yeah. But I bet Brandon and I could swap stories for hours.
Oh.
Before 5 years old, I had also almost burned down my grandma's house in Okinawa and our house in North Carolina and had set a small forest fire.
Oh, gosh.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, you would take up most of that time because I only have one story like that, and it's not even that bad.
Oh, but do tell.
Okay, so I have shared this story on the air before, but I had a barn when I was growing up, probably around 9, 10 years old, same age as the kid in the story. And I actually took a oversized mason jar, one of those mayo jars that you get at Costco or a big box store, whatever, almost a gallon's worth of mayo. And so I poured motor oil, WD-40, any other flammable liquid that I could find in said garage. And then I stuffed
all of it into the jug, like a mix, like a cocktail.
And were you doing this alone?
Yes.
Oh.
Garage door was open.
How old were you?
I was probably 10 years old.
All right. Well, garage door's open, so we have airflow. That's
good. Oxygen. Yeah. And so there is a...
don't try this at home.
Man, I'm just picturing Brandon gathering all this.
Don't do this. There was gravel outside. So when you hit the entrance to the garage door, there was gravel. So that's important to the story. And so I was filling it up with all the liquids. And then I thought, this needs something else. Toilet paper, of course. All right. So I went and grabbed a roll of toilet paper and started stuffing it full of toilet paper. And I thought, what else can I put on here? Oh, I don't know. I found some coffee filters. So I put those in there on top. And the reason there's coffee filters in there is because there was a German polka band that was practicing there on Thursday nights. We were renting this house from somebody who was friends with a group of guys in the area. Small town, very interesting. Very interesting folks. So they're doing the Oompa Oompa thing on Thursday nights, and they were kind enough to leave their coffee maker there with this rickety ass table that had this cloth tablecloth on it. And so I decided, okay, well, this is good enough. I'm going to put it on this table. This seems sturdy enough. It wasn't sturdy.
Oh, gosh.
And so I threw a match in there, and it instantly lit up like a jet turbine, like a fighter jet. And I freaked out. So I hit the table as I freaked out,
and the whole
jar came falling down onto the garage floor, all cement, right? And it just spreads. It's just a wildfire spreading all of the liquid, guiding it.
Uh-huh.
My mom is in the house probably 30 feet away because this was a detached garage. And I'm freaking out. What's mom going to do? She's going to kill me. So it lit the little table cloth on fire just a little bit. So I took that out. I got that out. And then I took a shop broom, broomed all of the brushed all the liquid and all everything that was in said container that was now shattered all over the floor onto the concrete outside of the garage. Nobody knew except for the German polka band who came back the next week, and they're like, "Oh, what is this? What happened to me at my tablecloth?" And I did end up telling the story on the air many years ago when my my mom was still alive, and so she sent me a message. She was like, I had no idea.
Oh, wow.
And yes, I would have killed you.
We're going to get to Treble Trouble right now. We got a pair of tickets to see Foreigner at Hard Rock Live Sacramento Friday night, October 18th. You win those tickets, you are qualified for the grand prize drawing Friday morning to be upgraded to the front row. We're going to give you a 3-second song clip. You tell us the title of the song and you win. Caller 18 guesses first, then 19, then 20. And if nobody knows this title of the song,
that's a fire.
Fire everywhere and no winner.
We need a winner.
888-989-9811 for Treble Trouble.
Rob. Anybody. And Dawn. The Rob.
Anybody.
And Dawn Show.